name is Jessica.
Hi, Elsie.
Hi. All of a sudden, your voice, we've been talking and your voice has been very grounded and like all businesslike, all like blah, blah, blah. And then all of a sudden, hi. Like,
what? Sometimes I do that just to see if I can throw you off. Like, because we talk and then we say hi, like we haven't been speaking.
That's
and
true.
So I feel like if I do a different voice, maybe it'll like make you laugh or something. I don't know.
It certainly did.
This time it worked.
If I do a different voice, I could just say it like, hi, Jessica.
Hello.
Yeah, like one of these times I'm going to be like, Feldy, you look good, right? Just see if I can, you know, I can do the Sean Connery, you know.
Oh, my God.
Just see if, like, I don't do that many impressions. I'm not that good with them, but.
Well, I don't do any. I don't even want to try to do impressions. I've been told that I'm, like, good Muppet.
Like, that I could believe, actually. See that. You should have a Muppet voiceover character.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so here's the. So let's get started. Right. Let's dive in deep. Right away.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm streaming through my Instagram feed, and I saw this message peering at me. It says, if they have no reason to subscribe to your show, they won't. And, you know, I agree. I mean, I do subscribe to a lot of them, but I also don't subscribe to a lot of shows.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it's a big deal, though.
About whether or not they'll subscribe?
Yeah. Like, I just don't think having subscribers is all that. I honestly don't.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, that's true. But that's true with everything. If they have no reason to listen, they won't either, right? So, like, who cares?
Right. Well, exactly. But I guess what I like about this is that if they have no reason to subscribe, right? If they have no reason to listen, they won't. Absolutely. I like
it's
that.
Like, thanks, Captain Obvious. No, but I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I agree with you. I'm not sure I understand why it's so important to have subscriptions. And one of the reasons I think so is because we have no way of knowing. Ever,
right.
If we have any.
That's true. You're right about that, because that information, it really is like completely and utterly missing from everywhere.
Logic alone dictates.
Yes.
Like, why would you care if you have no way of measuring it? It's not like iTunes will send you an email once a month going, in this month, this many people subscribe. Ta-da! You win the prize. Like, nope. We don't know. We'll never know.
You're right. You're absolutely right. I just think that subscriptions are overrated. And I do, you know, subscribe and I would rather have somebody listen to a show that they really like. You know, like the people that maybe wanted to listen to whenever we were ranting about how, you know, how hard it is to podcast the whole, this whole bounce the baby, bounce, bounce, bounce baby, bounce baby one. That one, you know, I wouldn't mind people just listening to that and not really listening to another show until they were interested in another topic that we covered. Like, I feel right now, I honestly feel subscriptions are not that important at all. I feel a following and people following you and paying attention to you and being a part of your online, I don't know, presence in some way is a lot more important. So it's like the everyday interactions that you have with people. If they're like in tune with you, they will listen to what's going on with the show. They just will.
You know, the thing is that like, you kind of hope that people listen to the one show and then think, okay, I don't want to miss the next thing that they say because of, you know, like, I mean, in our group, it could be fear of missing out. It could be, you know, that just that they were so either, you know, entertained or educated that they, you know, they want to make sure that they get it the next time and it comes around. That's really what you hope and why you hope people subscribe. But I don't know, I guess just because you never know if they're going to, I sort of like feel like, why would you waste your time like thinking about it? And I would also say as a listener, the only time I've ever subscribed was when I was like so completely addicted to the next thing that I wanted it the second it was available.
Yeah.
How many listeners do you really have that are like that, though?
Not very many. And I think that's the key right there. The people who are going to want to eat you for breakfast in the morning, then will already have purchased your, you know, your cereal. Like you already, they'll subscribe. They just will.
Yeah. They've been eating Lucky Charms for 20 years. Yeah. You don't have to.
Yeah.
Right. You don't have to like sell them on the marshmallows anymore. You're all set.
Exactly. Yeah. I think that's one of the things that is super important. And the other thing is that sometimes, and I like how I'm using cereal now because you said Lucky Charms, there's times for Lucky Charms and there's times when you just want to have some oatmeal, you know, and it doesn't mean that I have to have Lucky Charms every day. It doesn't matter. There's times when I really want to go to the grocery store and get Lucky Charms because I really need them now. But usually I'm an oatmeal girl, you know? I mean, I don't know. And so that's part the reason that I wanted to bring this up is because as long as that part of my brain is still wanting Lucky Charms is making money. Lucky Charms is being, you know, addressed. It's being seen. And so that's what I feel podcasting is as well. I don't feel that just because you're in a specific niche, you have to have every single person have you subscribe to your podcast in order for them to be a fan.
I wonder if a good way to measure subscribers, even now that we've discounted how important it is.
Exactly.
Is to go to your least downloaded show. And if, you know, like maybe that's how you know, like, okay, these people only downloaded it because they had to. Right? And like maybe
that's a great one to add. Yeah.
I mean, if you think about it, that's really, because all it is guessing, right? Or maybe the question is like, okay, this has gone live. How many people have downloaded it in the first hour? Those are probably the people who are subscribers. Because they've had no choice, because it's just an automatic thing, right? But like, that's really the only way to measure it, I'm thinking, is like, go to the one everyone hates. If it has 100 downloads, you know you have 100 subscribers.
That's hilarious. Well, you know, but that's actually really good. But this is what you have to do. Okay, so if we're going to talk, might as well go for this. This is my take on the subscription thing. But you have to do this for yourself, and this is going to be something that you have to take the time to do, all right? So you go, if you happen to have Libsyn or whatever other stats, whatever that you're using, you go into your advanced stats wherever you're going, and then you physically write down, like, let's say we're releasing this episode at the beginning of next week. I like the way my Google Docs just got frozen, so I can't see. So this is coming out on Monday, February 23rd, okay?
Yes.
So on the 23rd, like after a week happens, you look at the episode downloads, just that episode downloads, and you write that down. Then you write the 2 weeks, after 2 weeks, and then you write that down. Then you do that for 3 weeks and 4 weeks until you have, like, you start a spreadsheet with just the amount of downloads that you've gotten for those weeks for the latest episode every single time. And then after you have at least, I don't know, 8 or so of that data, then you start to look at those numbers and you can start to see around the average of what downloads you have for that data for the month. I feel the first 2 weeks are key for discerning how many subscribers you have. That's what I think. 2 weeks.
But again, you also don't have to care.
That's right. Because then it's just going to be annoying to be going, because I always think that I'm like, oh, I should have done that. And that's why I'm saying it has to be like something that's top of mind and you really want to find this out because it really doesn't matter.
I mean, I think downloads matter more if you have to measure something, because that way at least you know, like, oh, this went viral, or people shared it, or thought it was popular, or people really liked it, or they liked the guest, or, you know, there's a million reasons why that particular show is more popular than others. But still, you can at least measure popularity as opposed to subscribers of the overall show, which tells you, I guess, what exactly? How many people, like, need to eat for breakfast, like Elsie said, right? But, I mean... That doesn't even mean they're going to listen right away just because they've subscribed, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they won't listen for – I mean, because there's also shows that I've subscribed to that I never, ever open, ever.
I know. That's happened to me a couple times too, where I forgot that I subscribed to – because I'm a dork. I have 3 different podcast apps.
There's probably Elsie subscribes to like 300 shows.
And then I only listen to like the ones that I'm obsessed. And that's, you know, that's okay. Now I remember why I wanted to talk about this, because I go through seasons. Like there was the season where I was obsessed with X show and Y show and, you know, B show. And then now I have a whole entire new list of shows that I'm obsessed with, like that have nothing to do with the ones that I used to love. But that doesn't mean that I don't love those shows anymore. It just means that now these ones are the ones that I'm having. It's sort of like how you eat certain things in the different parts of the season. You know, like, I don't know, I'm not having salads right now because I'm not craving salads right now. I want like soups because it warms my body. Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, it doesn't mean that I don't love salads. It's just that I don't want salads right now. So
yeah,
that's what I feel. That's why I think that subscriptions are not that important, but as long as you have fans and you're in top of mind, and if somebody says, hey, I want to listen to a show about, I don't know, some kind of random topic, and you have in the past listened to that show and go like, oh, I know this is a really good show about that.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as that happens, I feel you're doing fantastic. If you're in somebody's head.
I agree. So, you know, I was just thinking about how the only two podcasts I've ever been like super addicted to both aren't on the air anymore.
Oh, sad.
I know, it was kind of sad. One of them was when I was learning to be a designer, there was a show by a kid named Adam Hay, and it was just all about the graphic design business, like how to create a contract or get clients or whatever. And I listened to it every time it was out, which was like twice a week. And the other one was a Ricky Gervais podcast. I was highly addicted to it because it was long and I was super bored at my job at the time. And so when they didn't have a new episode, you know, if an episode was later, I don't know, I would just like lose my head if I couldn't listen to it. So those are the only two. And now Ricky Gervais doesn't do his anymore. And this kid stopped doing his too. So there you go.
It is very sad. And that never, like I have a podcast that I still long to hear that is no longer in existence as well.
Really?
Yeah. It was Buzz Out Loud. It was a tech podcast. I've seen it. They had Molly Wood and Tom Merritt and Veronica Velmont, and the chemistry between those three talking about the news and tech was just, there was just something very special about that threesome. And it was a daily podcast. They were awesome. Really fantastic. And then, they kind of like, it's not that they did not break up. I think that some of them moved on, you know, Veronica left as a producer. And then I think Molly left. No, Molly stayed. Tom Merritt left. And they kept doing Buzz Out Loud, but then without that threesome, it was not the same. And mm-hmm. even though I've followed all three of them because I find them incredibly amazing, like hosts and journalists and just tech pundits, it's not the same. It's like when they're together, there's something that happens when they're together. And so still I'm like, why isn't Buzz Out Loud the same anymore?
That's sad.
I know. Okay, so let's move into some voice feedback. We are going to play here. She'll introduce herself so that you know who she is. Here we go.
Hey, Justin, Elsie, this is Marissa Talifer with the soon-to-be-released Abroad Abroad podcast. I'm so tired of saying that, soon-to-be-released. It's been 3 months now that I've been working on the podcast, and I am so overwhelmed trying to get all the shows edited, trying to make sure that I have the right launch timeline. Am I missing anything? And then I Google launch a podcast, and here's 15 things you need to do and 14 things you need to do and 27 different ways to launch and promote your podcast. There's just so much. There's so much information out there, so many ebooks that are kind of helpful, but maybe missing some information because they just wanted to give something away. So you'd opt in and give them an email address. Should I have an opt-in? I don't have an opt-in for my podcast. Maybe I should have that too. Maybe I should wait. Maybe I should put off the launch. No, I'm not putting off the launch. We're launching next week. That's it. If I've learned anything from you guys, it is basically just do it and you learn as you go. And that's what I'm trying to do. Get it out there. Learn as I go. What would be helpful for me? Continuing to be awesome and supportive as you guys always are. And breaking down, you know, what are the essentials that needs to be done? What can be fixed later? You know, we're thinking about news and noteworthy. Can we really do that? Is that essential? Do we have to make sure to launch 5 episodes? How do you get yourself out there, prepare your show, record your show, and launch? What does the actual launch look like? Because I have been stuck for months trying to figure out, do I have all the steps? Am I ready to push the button on Libsyn and iTunes and launch my first five shows? Or do I need to tweak my Facebook page a little bit or adjust the websites? What are the 5 things, 10 things that absolutely need to be done before you launch your podcast or as you launch your podcast? Ongoing, you know, weekly tips, promotion, selling, sponsorship, all that's great, but I can't do any of it until I launch and I don't want to forget anything. So if you guys could help with that, I'd really appreciate it. Thanks so much. Bye.
All right. So, and I got to say that she really, it's the cutest thing I've ever heard to hear her tell this story. It's like the plight. It's the plight of the,
plight of the podcaster.
Yes, exactly.
It's true.
It's like with every sigh, I was like, yep. Yep. I totally get it. You're doing fantastic. You are doing great. There isn't really anything essential that you haven't done already. Like, you've got all your ducks in a row. And really the most important thing that you need to have is to have an RSS feed that's valid.
Mm-hmm.
And to that, at least for me, you need to have an RSS feed that's valid, and you need to have a host that can support you being able to move if you ever need to move somewhere else, that they're reputable in the space and they have good support for podcasts. There is the other stuff as well, but the thing is, it's like, if you don't have a feed that's valid, or if you have problems with your feed, or people can't subscribe to your show, or the company that you're using, you know, goes under, or they're not delivering your media on time, or, you know, all of those other things that could possibly happen for, if you're, you know, going like the easy route, I guess the free route is what I'm saying, then you could be in trouble later because you're going to work so hard to build this podcast, and then all of a sudden you're going to have troubles with your host, and then all of that's going to go to poopy if you can't leave or can't up-level your work. So that's my opinion. What about you, Miss Jess?
I mean, the essential steps to launching a podcast, I think, are, yes, to have the content, yes, to have the RSS feed, and then, you know, yes to the host, and then you launch it. And then after you launch it and you have one episode, I don't think that you need an email list, and I don't think you need a newsletter. I think you should have started a Facebook and or Twitter or whatever you're going to use to market it later. I'm not saying you should have a big following there, but I think you should be able to say on the first show, you know, like our Facebook page, or you can follow us on Twitter. I mean, from show one, even if you have no one, at least be prepared to start growing that. I mean, even if you don't have a website, I think those are more important, you know, like, our website's coming, but for now, just follow us on Facebook and we'll let you know when you can comment on, you know, a blog post or whatever. See, that, totally. I don't even think you need a website, and I was a web designer.
Yeah, no, but, you're right. Yep.
But I think those things are important before you launch, and then I think, you know, there's two phases. Just like for when you do a website, there's two phases. There's never like a, okay, we're going to hit go for a website. You launch and then there's, you know, there's like, there's this, mm-hmm. you know, so like, okay, we need pages and we need a header, ready, launch. Okay, now, you know, I think I'd like to have an opt-in, but the site can already be live. And the same is true for a podcast. Like, okay, you need content and you need, and that's it. And then, ta-da, you're done. Launch.
You know what?
And then,
that's
but
what
then
we-
after you launch, you got to think like, okay, maybe I would like to give something away, and maybe I would like to have an email list, and maybe I would like to, I mean, you know, have a strategy for where you're going with this show in the future at some point. But to launch, you just need like an episode, preferably 2 or 3. And that's it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, people get so mired down in what they're going to need once it's live. When it's live, you want to be able to capture emails right that second. You want to be able to Facebook people right that second. But that's not – I mean, what do you think? Like, people are just going to flock to the show. Like, all of a sudden, it's like a magnetic force for ears that – like, it doesn't even – it does not matter for your first show or even for your first – you know, a couple weeks. Yes, you'll be in new and noteworthy, but get your stuff, launch the show first, and then the other stuff can come like right after that.
Absolutely. And I want to just agree with you, because when we launched She Podcasts, I think the thing that we had, you know, we had our artwork, we had 4 episodes in the can that we recorded.
Yeah.
We had, obviously the RSS feed.
And we had the group.
And the
group. We had that first.
Because we had the first. I know we had the group. Well, you had that group and it morphed into our group. But
yeah.
So, and then we kind of launched. We launched very, like, there wasn't any launch plan. There wasn't any, like, I think you sent an email to your list, right?
I sent an email to the list. And then also we kept pushing the date.
Like, yeah.
Okay, it's going to go live. Okay, I'm not ready yet. Because I think we wanted to have a website,
yes,
which no
did.
One really uses, right? So,
right.
Like, it doesn't even matter that we have a website. I mean, granted, you know, we've had the show for almost a year, maybe a little less. And so phase one is complete,
yeah.
Right? So, so now Elsie and I are thinking, okay, well, the show has been built into something like, okay, maybe we should capture emails this way. Maybe we should offer this on the site. Maybe we should use Twitter more.
Right.
Great. But, you know, the show has been enough.
Yeah,
for
the
a long
show
time.
Is the thing. Absolutely. The show
the
has
show
been
is
enough.
So my advice is always not to be mired down by A, what everyone else is doing, B, all the steps from start to finish that other people are telling you you need to launch, and C, not to think so far ahead that you are creating the end product before you've launched a social. Like, don't create the program that you're going to sell to the listeners that you don't have yet because your show's not launched. Like, that doesn't make sense.
Right. And something,
right?
Exactly. And something happens with you doing the show. That's super important. And even also the Libsyn, the feed, when I launched the feed, gosh, that was a real almost no, nothing. That was really, there was nothing behind that. It was like, it was just all of a sudden we just started putting shows out every other week. And it wasn't even, we didn't have any in the can. It was like, I recorded an episode 0, which was very simple. It was like 10 minutes. This is who I am. This is why we're doing it. And then after that, we just started, Rob and I started to record, like, and then put content out every twice a month we put out content,
yeah,
for that. And we had support from the newsletter for Libsyn one time. So around episode 3, there was an email sent out to all of the to the Libsyn users, basically saying we have a podcast. So we got a,
yeah,
little bit of a bump for that, but it wasn't really that huge. I mean, because a lot of people don't open email. That's the other thing. It's like a lot of people don't open emails from Libsyn, or it's only if it's like urgent, your account will be closed. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, right.
It's like, oh my God, what's going on? But other than that, they don't really. So we had a little bit of a push, but really it's just been a consistent putting content out and slowly built. I mean, I'm really amazed at the download numbers for that show, because I have done very minimal marketing, very minimal.
Yeah.
And so I think it's just a labor of love. You just have to now that you're in terms of launching, they're like, there's nothing for podcasting unless the RSS feed, that's the only thing. There's nothing you can do once you launch the show that you cannot change later. There's nothing. You can
nothing.
Go back. You can upload new episodes if you want. You can delete your first 3 episodes if you don't want anybody to listen to them. You can change your entire description for your show. You can change the title of your show. You can change the artwork of your show. Everything. You can change it all. And there's,
yeah,
nothing. Yeah. So what? You forgot to say something you've got next week or whatever. There's nothing that's a problem with that at all.
Yeah. That's right. I had terrible, terrible show art for like a long time.
Me too.
Nine months, maybe. Terrible, terrible, terrible. So yeah, no problems whatsoever. You can change anything whenever you want. So I hope that is helpful for those of you who are listening, who are like ready to launch, but not ready to launch because you have so many things that have to be ready before you go live. Like, you really don't. You do not. That stuff can go be ready right after you launch, or even within the first month that you launch. Or hey, you could be like me and Elsie and wait a whole year.
Exactly. Well, see, yeah, because it's not like if you're launching some kind of program. Because if you're launching a program, even if you have the content, you still have to have the process of, if you're selling it, you still have to have like a cart. You have to be able to get money. Like, those things you really do need to have in place, because you need to know how to get the money from the people, right? Because there has to be a process for that. There's nothing like that you have to set up. Like, once you publish your podcast, maybe you can describe like how to download your podcast on your website, but really not very many people are going to be looking at there. Most people kind of know now. So you don't even have to do that. They'll just do it. So, which is, yeah. So it's really awesome. Well, thanks for the question. Yeah. 'Cause I know that there's a lot of people that feel like you, Marisa.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, I just remember one of the things. We need to set up a call line, right? Didn't we say we were going to do that?
We were going to do that, you know, and I...
All right, I'm going to set that up.
Do that. Okay,
I'm going to write it down right now. Set up call line for Sheepy.
So more likely than not, ladies, I have a feeling it's going to be over at speakpipe.com/sheepodcasts.
It will, but I mean, I'm going to try and integrate it.
Yeah. So then now you guys can kind of easily tap that button and we can send it out there. So
tap that.
Okay. Sorry. So kind of moving on to, it's actually the same conversation. It's kind of the same conversation, but a little bit farther, behind. We were talking about a podcast primer, if you will, of how to get people to get started. And, I think two things that you really do need to have in order before you kind of start, before you're in the launch process that we just heard of, much before that, is your podcast raison d'être and your podcast style. So the reason for your podcast life, why it's alive.
The reason for being.
The reason for being.
Really the definition, right?
Absolutely. Yes. The reason for being. So, so here's some questions that you can ask yourself. So if you're sitting around wondering like why you're doing this podcast, you want your podcast to be what your signature product, or is this like your means of communication, like the thing, is it going to help you with branding you or your business? Is it going to bring you into a new audience segment? So, you know, if you're trying to sort of expand where you are, is it going to help you establish you as a niche expert somewhere? Is it going to help you become a web celebrity, which is something that, you know, a lot of people don't. We're going to be talking about some people that actually do this. And I think this is a very viable thing that you can
do. Like me.
Like you.
And that's then, my raison d'être.
Fame and glory. Yes. And then, or, you know, increase findability and visibility. So you already have a platform. You just kind of want to be more in more places, or, you know, or another thing like that. But why, what's like the thing for your podcast? Why are you doing this? Because once you figure that out, then you're going to be, everything else is sort of going to fall into place. It really is.
Well, it's sort of like, you know, like with every strategy that you put together, it's sort of like a map. Like you can't start walking down the road and just like wing it because you won't know which way to go. You need to know which way to go. And like if it's going to be helping you bring in a new audience, well, then that will figure out whether or not, you know, how soon you need that email list up. If it's going to help you increase your findability and visibility, you know, then you're going to need to keyword the hell out of your show.
Right.
But you don't know which direction right or left to go in until you know why you're doing it.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep.
So that's why it's so important. These things, stuff to ask. And plus also, I would even ask to add on to this list, what exactly do you want the end result to be? Are you trying to do live events? Are you trying to sell books? Are you trying to sell services? Are you trying to entertain people? Are you trying to speak more, whether it's for entertainment or to help people? Are you trying to create classes? Do you have a class already? And I mean, I know that sounds very businessy, but I'm even thinking of people, you know, do you just really like to talk about Orphan Black, for example, and you don't have anybody to talk about it with?
Right.
I mean, because what if the end result is I want to meet the whole cast of Orphan Black?
Exactly.
Well, right on. But know what you want the result. Like if you could interview, you know, Tatiana Maslany or whatever the heck her name is. Yeah, that's right. I watch Orphan Black. Then it's a good show. Then, you know, then creating a show is the way to go. If you want to talk to celebrities in general, creating a show is the way to go. But know whatever it is, businessy or not, you know, whether you're selling something or if you just, you know, see yourself hobnobbing with, you know, celebs or whatever, I think knowing what the end result is comes, you know, along with, what it's gonna, you know, what it's going to help you with, it, you know, in the interim, I guess, too, if that makes sense. So it's like beginning, middle, end. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense.
Okay.
No, you didn't. I think that's a great question to add for that podcast primer as well, because it really does. It has the opportunity to then ease your ability to answer the questions that come next. Right. And that's really what it is, because if you don't have this reason, if you don't know why you're doing this, then when somebody asks you what kind of microphone you need, or is it going to be, you know, how long the show is going to be, or what does your artwork need to look like? It's much easier to know what the artwork's going to look like, or what kind of microphone you're going to need if you're going to be interviewing celebrities, or if it's going to be just you and your friend that you guys just want to chat about Orphan Black. It's different. Yeah. You know what I mean? Or if it's interviewing people on the street, you're not going to use the same microphone. Like, you know, there's so many different questions that are answered for you. It's like sometimes you only have like one, like it's just like, oh yeah, you just need this mic because if you're going to be interviewing people on the street, you're not going to be like, so should I use the blue Jedi, you know, like the Jedi, the pro Jedi. Right. And it's like, you're not going to be carrying that bullet with you. That's a USB mic. You know, it's like, there's so many questions that open up, and which actually takes us over to then after you've got that, then what style to prime for your show, what style do you want the show to be like, meaning like the type, like, is it, the length, you know, what kind of type, is it an interview podcast, a co-hosted podcast, a solo podcast, a roundtable podcast, segment podcast. And we're going to talk about a limited edition podcast here that I just found out about, which I think is also a really good idea. How long it is. What is it going to be like, you know, Quick and Dirty Tips? And just because that's what you think, and Quick and Dirty Tips for Grammar Girl are usually like very short episodes. Grammar Girl's like around 5-ish minutes, give or take, here and there. Is it evergreen content? You know, the kind of stuff that somebody's just going to go back to and listen to over and over again, or it's something that doesn't really ever change? Or is it of the moment kind of stuff? Is it like news and information? Those are like the kind of podcasts that I really love, but I also know that those are much harder to do.
Yeah.
So that also goes into the time that you put into it. And meaning when you look into the why of your podcast, it's going to help you understand or make choices about these other things. Like if it is an interview podcast, or if you want co-hosted things with, you know, whatever you want to do. So, but I wanted to go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I can give a really good example for a show that I haven't done yet, because I can't really put my finger on like its reason for being,
right?
Except that I think it's funny, which is not a good enough reason for me to pour time into it.
Yes, totally, right? Totally. Yeah. Yeah.
But like, I've had this idea for a long time for doing a website, and, you know, and then consequently a podcast called, Badass Jews.
Oh.
And basically, I know it sounds ridiculous, but basically the idea is that, you know, Jewish people are usually stereotyped or thought of as like these like nerdy accountant, like a nebbish, which is like a, you know, like just like a super nerd with like a, you know, skinny neck and like a, you know, pocket full of pencils or whatever, you know, or like a Howard Wolowitz, somebody who lives with his mother and like whatever. So, but there's this whole subset of Jewish people who like get tattoos and ride motorcycles and like are, you know, go against the norm and create all these, you know, and sort of burst through stereotypes. Like Jack Black is one of those people, for example. Like he's Jewish, but like, you know, he's just, you know, he has these like comedy albums that are like really, anyway, they're really funny and whatever. So, originally the idea was, wouldn't it be cool to like interview like the super Jew celebrities, and that would be super cool. And then I thought people could like nominate their own badass Jews, you know, like my father-in-law who was like a CPA, but like used to ride around the country, like on a Harley,
oh,
you know, cause everyone knows like a guy like that, right? Like a stockbroker with a leather jacket.
Right, kind of. Right, right. Yes, totally.
And I just thought it would be fun, but I cannot for the life of me, like come up with the answer to the question, like, first of all, what do I want the end result to be? Because if it, you know, even if it is me interviewing Adam Sandler and Jack Black, like, is that enough? And then the second is like, just because I think it's cool and funny doesn't mean it's a good reason. Like, it doesn't, does it advance me or my life in any way? Not really that I can think of. And if somebody can think of it and they want to email me, great. But like,
well,
so I do think it would be fun. And fun, sometimes fun is enough.
Fun is enough. Fun, I absolutely enough. Now, what I have to say is that, so now let's go back to talking about right at the beginning when we had the first thing where I gave you all those things, the reason for living for your podcast, yeah. Right? So one of them is that help me become a web celebrity or help me become a personality or help me become, for me, like... Right. That's one of the biggest things of why I like to podcast. Like that's something that I constantly gravitate back towards because there's something about just creating your own content coming from the entertainment industry, coming from having that bug already, coming from being on stage and understanding that there's something about having your own show, right? And I felt completely powerless when you're in Hollywood, you're doing all this stuff. It's like everybody else has the power but you. You know,
right.
The casting director is the one that calls you in. Even if you're an amazing actor, there could be like the cousin of the director that wants to put that girl to be in the part.
Right.
And no matter how good you are, they'll be cast. I mean, there were so many times when like the excuse of me not being cast for a part was something so lame that I was just like, really? And it's so disempowering. I felt.
Yeah.
So that's why I gravitate to this medium. It's like, I can do what I want. I can have my own show. I could do it. So that's how I feel you doing that show would really just be about that. It would just really be about Jessica having a show.
Right.
Period.
Right.
And the question about whether or not that would be enough for you to interview, you know, Jack Black or whatever, you know, on your
right.
show. It's like just
Gene Simmons.
Gene Simmons, right. Like all these people it would be so fantastic because it would be like, it's Jessica. Like people would just, it's Jessica.
You know? Right.
Go ahead. Yes.
No, you're right. But I mean, it's just one of those things where like, you know, I guess because I'm not that clear on those questions, I haven't started it. And there's other shows that I am more clear on, you know, like stuff that's like, you know, itching and burning to come out of me. Like, for example, you know, talking about getting annoyed with my husband for not bouncing the baby or whatever. Like there's a whole series of little stories like that that are more urgent to come out of me than whether or not... You know, like Perry Farrell of Jane's Addiction is a cool Jew. Like, who cares? You know what I'm saying?
Got it. No, absolutely. And those are the questions that you need to ask. Though that's
right.
Exactly what I. Yeah, you're hitting it right on the head because you're.
That's
you're,
more important to me.
Yeah.
So it's not. I mean, yes, the furthering of the career and becoming a web celebrity and creating my own content. Yes, to all those. But is there a better way or a more relevant way for me to do it right now? And the answer to that is yes. So that's why that project has been on the back burner like 5-7 years or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I get
a million. Yeah. Yeah. Oh. So, so, and then of course, you know, once you've figured out what you want the thing to be, the style is definitely comes next. How are you going to do it? What equipment do you need for that?
Yeah, absolutely. Cause then I'll start to open it up. I kind of want to take it over to, the limited edition podcast, right? So we've been talking about, and
yeah, because I'm yeah.
These have been questions that have come up on She Podcasts in the Facebook group as well, where there's a lot of people doing like seasons and whatnot. And I like the idea of seasons. I keep talking about the idea of seasons because it really does kind of lessen the impact of having to put out content every week, which is a really big stress. And it is, as you have heard us say, it's hard. It's a challenge. I think seasons lessens that, and if you're really deliberate about that, it's awesome. And then there are the podcasts that are just like they stand up on its own, like, you know, the ones that John Lee Dumas are doing right now, which are basically list builders, where it's really just a series of episodes. I'm not sure how many he has. I think it's like 10 or something like that.
I'll look.
And they're finite. Like, it's not like he is leaking the content out. It's basically all of those podcasts are out at the same time and they just exist. And you can download 1 through 10 and it takes you through a process and that's it. Like, there's nothing else that needs to be added to that podcast. So imagine how awesome that would be for you to do a class on something and you just get behind the mic. You get behind the mic for like, I don't know how many hours, whatever. You're done. You edit, you do your thing, you do your branding for that show and you put it out and you don't have to think about that again. It's all about marketing.
The webinar course is 12 shows. Each one is about 10 minutes. Making it a grand total of what? 2 hours or less of content.
Mm-hmm.
You can subscribe for free, I guess. I'm trying to see. Let me see.
Yeah, no, it is. It's a totally free thing. But see, imagine like 10 minutes and it's just out there and it basically just sends people to sign up for the rest of the content that he offers. Like he gives everything for free, but he says, if you want to know more, here are some videos that are be accessible that will align with this so that you could see how this process goes. And then obviously you just sign up. So there's that.
Yeah.
Now, the limited edition podcast is something that just came into my consciousness, of course, so I was watching another podcast or listening to another podcast. Justin Robert Young, who is he's like a journalist in the tech industry, basically. He's been in doing a lot, producing a lot of content. He's a content producing fiend, lots of podcasts, lots of videos, lots of YouTube stuff, lots of articles, all that kind of stuff. And he mentioned that he and his fiance are doing a limited edition podcast leading to their wedding. That's going to happen over at Dragon Con sometime during Labor Day weekend on 2015. And I was like, that's really interesting that they're just like, that's just what he's saying. Like it's totally just until they get married, at least up to this moment. And I thought, well, that's interesting. I want to listen to that. I want to hear this because I thought like, what guy and girl are going to get behind the mic and talk it all out, right? And of course, they're super entertaining. They've got lots of ideas. They have lots of opinions. It's kind of fun to listen to that. And their podcast website is super simple. Like there's no, you don't have to be, I know that these guys were just like, let's just do it. And then just did it. And I believe that they get the audio from a live Google Hangout. And so they get questions that come up or they are set up to receive questions live. So whenever they go live, you watch them live and then they've got audience interaction there whenever that happens. So I kind of started
That's pretty neat.
Isn't it? I thought it was really, really cool. Now I was just like, so who is this girl, Ashley, who is his fiance. And I have heard of,
and where can I beat her up?
And actually Justin Robert Young, I've known him for a long time because I'm a tech fiend. So I've heard his name and I've heard usually when the guys get on tech shows, they don't talk about their girlfriends. Like guys don't do that.
Yeah.
They talk about
the
stuff.
I was just kidding.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And so then I'm like, I want to know about Ashley because I want to know who this girl is and she wants to talk behind the mic and blah, blah, blah. So she also has like a bunch of stuff that she's doing. She's got a weekly vlog and then she has, another blog that's called Who's the Boss and another one that's called Online Ethicist, which are podcasts, both of those. And I started to kind of watch her and really she does an entire show just live on YouTube where she'll kind of talk about things that are like big industry or things that maybe even her audience asks her to talk about. Like she was just talking about, what is that? The Shades of Grey. What is that movie? I like how I'm not even aware,
50
like
Shades of Wrong.
Whatever. 50 Shades of Grey, yeah. Whatever. So she was talking about that. She was talking about, she talked about the whole serial startup thing, which I was like totally. And she was like, really? It was so funny the way she was talking about all this stuff. And I just thought like, so what's her thing? Like, then I'm like, so what's her thing? Her thing is that she's just an online person. Like that's what she does.
Yeah.
She's just a personality. She's got an opinion. She has all this content that's out there. She's very eloquent. I love her voice. I'm totally a fan now. And I already, kind of responded with her via Twitter because I'm like, dude, she's just super, super cool. So, that's something that you can do with podcasting and with you being and creating content. Like it doesn't have to be something that is an interview show. Interviewing entrepreneurs to be able to have a good time behind the mic. So that was funny. The limited edition podcast. So that's just an addition. Oh, and in case you guys want to check it out, that podcast is called Jury More, one word. And their description is Welcome to the Cray. that is it. And I also wanted to give you another opportunity to kind of listen to something else. And this is the new podcast that we talked about, I think not last episode, but the episode before, which was She Does. And the interesting thing about that podcast is that they also, in the description, interview women, right? And you're thinking like, okay, so there's these two girls that are going to interview women in media. And I thought, I want to hear this. But the cool thing about their whole thing is it's a highly produced show. So this isn't something that they're just like randomly calling somebody on Skype. Highly produced. The audio for the person that they're interviewing is pristine. It sounds like it's done in a studio. And instead of like the interview banter back and forth where it's like, you know, you ask the question and the person answers, like, you know, and then you kind of go off of that. They actually only showcase the answers of the interview guest. And then the two hosts in post-production comment and tell the story of the interview throughout the piece. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's interesting.
It is very interesting. So I was like, huh. So they kind of introduce her, like they basically get together and they talk about, let's say we did this with Natalie, you know, our host co-host, everybody, for those of you who just started listening, for the last episode from bizchicks.com. And so let's say, so you and I will now just talk about Natalie as we would, like, wasn't like, I really loved her insight when she said XYZ. And then we would
play it.
Yeah. And then she would cut to that. Smart. And then we would comment on that conversation. And so it really is sort of like, it's very beautifully done. And then what they do, and they only produce, I believe, twice a month for that, because I'm sure that they're, both of these women are doing a lot of work doing this podcast out. The other thing that they do is that after the interview comes out, the week later, they have a live Google Hangout interviewing their guest live for, I think it's a 30-minute thing. It's like very short. And so if you have any questions for that guest that were instigated by the podcast, then they have them out live. Isn't that neat? And I just thought that was super cool.
Yeah.
The other thing that I just thought was interesting is that they have partnered with Filmmakers Magazine, which actually pulled it all together for me, because I was like, how are they doing this? I mean, this is like a lot of work.
Yeah.
When I was listening, I'm like, this is not like something you batch produce. This is something that you have to be behind and listening and
do
editing.
It all day, every day.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
To get two of those episodes out a month. And I thought, well, how do they do this? They are partnered. They've partnered. So they have a sponsor for either facilitating or paying them to do this, or facilitating the interviews, or something that comes with the production quality of this. And that's something that I wanted to share with all of you guys listening, because that's a possibility. If you really want to pitch somebody and pitch a show where you can have something like this, to have that you really want to up-level the sound quality or do something different that's not been out there, this is a great way to do it. And they've done a fantastic job of reinventing the interview show.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. It's not sure that it's duplicatable, if that's a word.
Yes, you're right. It's,
but it is a cool idea. I mean, you certainly could do that, like play clips of an interview. I mean, like you said, there's so much that goes into it that it does sort of have to be your full-time job, or at least some aspect of it. Like you being like a community manager for Libsyn, you know,
yep,
you're, you know, getting paid to run a show for them and interview and edit. And I mean, I'm sure they have editors or whatever.
They have to. I mean, they have to. And if they don't, they're working their booties off to get this stuff out there, because it's super.
Yeah.
And they've already, I mean, you can tell that there's been a lot of thought behind it, because they also have promos for the show, like sound bites. Mm-hmm. And they also tease the upcoming episode as well. So they've like interspersed it in a really wonderful, like it's very highly produced from like, and very well thought out as a whole. I think that maybe for some of you to go listen, to hear the possibilities out there, is very important to see what could happen. Another something that I've been watching in the sphere, especially for, and these are all women things, which is why I want to see it, is that there's been a lot of women, female podcasters, particularly really using Instagram. There are a lot of guys, but their use of Instagram is very kind of dorky, I gotta say. So it's just like the images are, it's just not, guys are just not good at that. You know, like it's just, it's kind of lame, their use of Instagram with podcasts. But the women are doing a really fantastic job. And I've been really impressed with an IG, like an Instagram launch that was done by She Percolates. And it was, they started as early as December to start to, they created an IG account just for their podcast. And they started to every day leak a little something about the podcast all the way up to the beginning of February, which was when they launched. And it was super, super cute because it made people want to know. They even, you know, had little things like, if you want to get the podcast, the first episode, as soon as it comes out, sign up for our email list. And it was a list builder. I mean, there was so much thought, again, that was put into the way that they led up to it as a launch that I really appreciated from the ladies. So I just wanted to share that as well. So there, that's it. How about you guys?
Yeah,
check that out.
So I want to look at, I want to listen to She Does just because, I mean, it, you know, I think about that stuff a lot, but it's like okay. So like in Wilmington, Delaware, where am I supposed to find a studio like that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I mean, aside from borrowing time at a radio station, a local radio station, I don't know that I have access to those types of resources. And then I feel sad, like, because I can never do one that's professionally done.
I know.
What do you think about
it? That is a little bit sad.
Especially if you want to be considered, you know, a professional podcaster. And here I am with my little blue snowball, praying that my kid doesn't wake up and make noise while I'm.
No, you're right. Know? I think that's absolutely something that I fought with a long time. You know, that was one of the reasons that I was kind of scared to put the Libsyn podcast out because it's like we're the podcasting company. You're supposed to have good sound, you know. And I did my best. I mean, I played back.
Whatever. You had a hater in the first 24 hours.
I did. I know you heard that. And it's true. You know what? It's like one of those things. That's the first. And that was my biggest fear. It's like, I put the first podcast out there and it was a hater who left a scathing review in iTunes about the podcast and basically said, who is this girl? Why is she behind the mic? The sound quality is less to be desired or something not nasty about.
Like the second it went live, somebody hated it.
It was like episode zero, 10 minutes long. I'm like, geez. Jesus. And so it was really not cool. I don't know. I just feel that, I would like to do something like that at some point, but I also know that I have to optimize what I have. I mean, I'm not going to be fighting for it. And as women, we just have to deal with what we have and just make the best of it in the most positive way. Not like, oh, okay, I'll just do this.
Right.
Because I can't, because I have to, I was just thinking about it. I'm like, I haven't practiced yoga. Like I haven't been able to have a physical practice of yoga in so long. And if I allow myself to go down that rabbit hole, I will start to feel really depressed and like a total loser. And I don't want to feel like that. You know what I mean? Like yoga has been part of my life for so many years. I'm a yoga teacher. I studied. I paid thousands of dollars. I have so much knowledge. It's insane. And I don't even have to, I haven't made the time basically to put the mat out because right now the season for me to do that is not here. Like it's not here. And if I keep on pushing through that and saying, oh, but I should be able to do at least one downward facing dog a day, then I'm just going to feel like crap about myself. And that's not who I want to be in the world. I don't want to be beating myself up all day long because I'm not that. I am me.
I mean, true. That's true. I don't know. Maybe that's just my nature is to like think I'm doing good and then see someone doing it better and think, oh, I'm not doing it as good as that person. Go, let's go eat ice cream. You know, like,
no, but
that's my whole life.
No, dude, let's go eat ice cream. Ice cream is great.
This show is the only time I was just like, well, hopefully it'll grow. Every other thing I do, I have like a goal that is impossible to reach that never gets reached. Then I get depressed about not reaching it and then find ice cream. Serious.
Ice cream is
very
great.
Very serious.
No, and I, and yes, we do have to keep that in mind. But I just think that here's the thing though. I'm not dismissing, and I'm going back to my yoga practice just because that's what
right.
translates
that's what
for
you
this
relate to.
Is that I know that I'll be back on the mat. I just can't stop the energy that I have to create, especially things like this, to be on the mic with you, to have the excitement of What She Podcast is, to have my girls outside and be able to play with them and play puzzles for like an hour and a half and not have to look at my phone. Like there's so many different things that are so much more important right now than me taking the mat out and doing a down dog. And if I feel guilty about that, it's going to stop. It's going to hinder my creativity. It's going to hinder my wanting to be good at this. My joy of like, I find joy. Well, like when I saw those girls and she does, I was like, wow, that was so cool. And my first thought was like, I want to talk to them. I want to know what their workflow is. That was like the first thing that I thought of. It wasn't like, I want to be like them because I can't. Because my life doesn't lend itself
my,
to me.
Your first thought is to befriend them, and mine is to hate them and be jealous.
As with Ashley Paramore, I was just like, oh my God, she is so cool. I want to be, look at her. She's doing all these things. She has all these podcasts and she's speaking her mind and that doesn't matter that, you know, and I just thought like, I want to reach out to her. I want to know how she's doing this. I want to touch base with her. I think she's awesome. And I want to be like that. Just free as opposed to, I mean, I want to be polished. Of course I do. But at the same time, it's not really possible, really.
Just so it makes you feel, I'm not sure if it'll make you feel better, but I don't do a downward dog every day and I don't feel any guilt about it. Like at all. In fact, I don't even think about it. So.
Well, good. I'm glad, Jess. I'll remember that. Every time I feel that feeling, I'm like, whenever I feel sad, then I'll be like, oh, Jess never does a down dog.
Jessica doesn't do one ever, and her life is peachy.
I know, exactly.
All right. So don't worry about it.
All right. Well, I think that's good. We've covered our topics. And how about if you have any feedback for us, you can email us at feedback@shepodcast.com. feedback@shepodcast.com. You can join our Facebook group, which is over at shepodcast.com/group. Those are pretty easy. And then now if you want to leave us some voice feedback, the SpeakPipe page I know is going to be working. And then that's going to be at speakpipe.com/shepodcast, which means you can just leave us a message via that.
Yeah, man.
All right.
So thank you. Oh, pardon, that's my cat. Not the baby. That's the cat.
Yeah, that's a cat.
Sorry about that. That's a bad ending. She's so rude. Bye, everyone. Thank you so much for listening.
Okay, bye-bye. The